This is Perry Marshall, and the interview you're about to hear with Derek Naylor is one of the most popular Renaissance Club interviews that I've ever done. I got a lot of feedback from this, and the feedback was consistently, wow, that was really original, really sharp thinking, very unusual. And because of this, I've actually made Derek my key speaker for the Rainmaker Alchemist event in Chicago, which is September 21 to 23. The Rainmaker event is for anybody who generates income for clients by any means whatsoever. Any kind of specialized JV arrangement or consulting arrangement, or anybody who's operating as a hired gun for other companies to bring them traffic or to make their website better or to do outsourced marketing, or any kind of business consultant, that's who this seminar is for. And you'll hear as we go through this interview why I wanted Derek to be at the seminar. So without further ado, enjoy this conversation with Derek.
Hey, this is Perry Marshall. I'm here with Derek Naylor, and Derek is the official marketing guru of the self-storage industry, as in the storage units that you see as you drive around. The people in that business look to Derek for marketing advice. And, well, that's an interesting little niche to be in charge of. And I've known Derek for quite a long time. He's been in my coaching groups, and we've, you know, we've done things together. And so I thought it would be really good to get Derek and I together and have a conversation and let you eavesdrop on it and find out more about what he's doing, because he's doing some really interesting things. So, Derek, welcome.
Thanks, Perry. It's great to be here. And hopefully the introduction to the fact that I'm in the self-storage industry didn't put anyone to sleep already, just because that is a real exciting industry.
Well, actually, I love quote-unquote boring industries because, well, usually they're not actually boring when you get down under the surface. There's a lot of interesting things going on. And the storage business is actually run by a lot of pretty smart people, too. So, so Derek, how did you ever fall into that?
Well, it's an interesting story. I was actually doing what you'd call marketing consulting for small businesses, where when I was 16 years old, I picked up a Jay Abraham book and instantly became just enthralled with marketing. And I grew up in a family business. I always had the idea that I was going to take over the family business. And what happened is my dad didn't have any marketing at all for his business. It's a glass business. They do like auto glass and new windows and homes, et cetera. And they didn't do any marketing. They were the first ones to market in the geographic areas they were, but it became ultra competitive. And so I came to him when I was, you know, 16 years old and said, "Dad, you need to start doing some marketing." And he sort of just, you know, he agreed, but he didn't know where to start. So he turned me loose when I was in high school with a few marketing campaigns, at, you know, some small stuff at his stores, you know, basic stuff like setting up customer orchestrated customer referral programs, you know, cross-selling, setting up affiliates in a local market, which can be done offline just like you do it online. And I set some of that stuff up for him, and the results, we literally doubled the performance of a store when I was 16 years old. And at that point, I didn't really want to be involved in the family business anymore, because I knew how much money that was worth. You know, I saw it on paper, and I thought, you know, there's nobody else out there in the small business land that's doing this stuff, and I'll bet I could charge a pretty good amount of money to do it, a lot more than I would make in the family business. Plus, I don't ever want to be seen as the kid who had everything handed to him. It's just not my style. So anyway, I started doing marketing consulting at the fresh age of 20 years old. And I had to actually start out on a success participation basis, which means that I wouldn't charge them a fee like a normal consultant could, because I had no reputation and I looked like, when I was 20, I looked like I was 12. So when I would approach these business owners, I'd, you know, literally get laughed out of some of their offices. But I would basically say, don't take my word for it. Let's just send out one letter. Here it is. And let's share in the profits.
Wow.
And so the first company that accepted me to do that was a steel company in Salt Lake City that they manufactured steel dumpsters, the big steel dumpsters you see outside of restaurants and so forth. And they had a product that was called secondary steel, and no one wanted it because they thought it was bad. And indeed, it wasn't bad. It was just in odd sizes, but these guys were cutting it up anyway, so why do they care? So I came to them, and with my J. Abraham training and Claude Hopkins and, you know, all the old guys, Rosser Reeves and David Ogilvy, I'd read all their stuff. I went and I said, what these guys are afraid of is taking a major risk and ending up with a whole bunch of steel that they don't want. But you're confident that this steel will do the job, right? And they said 100% yes, it will do the job. And I said, okay, we need to do what's called risk reversal, and we need to come up with a bold headline and put a big bold offer on there. And this was back when fax broadcasting was, it was illegal, but no one really cared. So we did a fax broadcast to their list, and we came up with a guarantee that said not only if you order this stuff, which is like 78% less than prime steel, so they would save 78% on their cost of steel. And you get it, and it's not the quality that you want, send it back. We'll not only pay for the shipping back, and because they were shipping on large 18-wheelers, the shipping was like $5,000 each way. So it would cost them $10,000 to take it back, but they would pay them $5,000 to go on a vacation to de-stress from the hassle. So it was just a total irresistible offer as far as I was concerned. No risk reverse all the way. And these guys doubled their sales in 6 months. And to me that was huge. To them, that was huge, and that sort of launched me into the marketing consulting industry because these guys were very well connected, and they introduced me to anybody and everybody. So that's how I got started. And I got approached by a company that had heard about me out of California who operated 20 something self storage facilities. And at the time, I had kind of a big ego. I was young, and I was making a lot of money, and I was doing the I'm really picky with my clients sort of thing. And so I did that with them, and they said, well, how about we come get you on a private jet and we'll take you out and, show you what we have going on. We think that you will really like the self-storage business once you see behind the curtains. Huh. And so I was an aviation enthusiast, so I took them up on the offer on the private jet, and we did that. And turns out you're right, Perry, when you say there's all sorts of interesting things behind weird businesses. The self-storage business is an absolutely fascinating business, and it's full of really, really great people. And so anyway, they ended up selling me. I turned them around in 2 years using, a lot of the direct marketing principles that Kennedy and all those guys teach and Abraham. And, they thought I was crazy. They told me every step of the way, they told me this is not going to work. So I had to have just suspend your disbelief for a minute and pretend that it does work. I had to have that little conversation with them every time we went to do a new direct mail piece or anything like that. They were part of the direct mail doesn't work crowd. And so anyway, we started doing that, and we turned them around in a very short period of time in terms of their industry. And they fired me because they wanted to sell their portfolio for $100 million, which they did, and they didn't want me on the books at the point of sell. So they fired me, but during that time I'd been to industry trade shows and seen how great the people were, and it really was an industry that needed good marketing help. There was the standard marketing help that you see and a couple of lead aggregators online, but nobody really offering really good marketing both online and offline. So I hung my shingle on Storage Marketing Solutions in 2003 and have been at it since.
That's great. So really, it's getting screwed out of a deal that led to you driving your stake into the ground.
Well, I'll tell you what it really was is. When I did marketing consulting, I charged a retainer of $5,000 to $10,000 a month and a percentage of increased sales. This particular deal to me was worth $10,000 a month. And, they were a big client. They took a lot of my time, and I had a couple of other clients too. But to go from, making $30,000 a month to $20,000 a month, while that's still, great income, it takes away a third of your income instantly, and it was completely out of my control. I had done my job. I was the hero. They had me speak at their company dinner and trotted me out as the hero and the most influential person to ever, you know, enter their company, just before they fired me. So I had done my job, but I got fired out of my because they didn't want me on the books. But to lose that much income and have it be out of my control, I couldn't deal with the stress of that anymore. So I started a I thought, you know, I don't need three people paying me a lot of money. I need hundreds of people paying me a little bit of money, because then this is just going to happen. People are going to cancel for every reason under the sun, and there's things that I can't control. So, you know, when somebody cancels, when you have a whole bunch of people paying you a couple hundred bucks a month instead of, you know, tens of thousands of dollars a month, then it's not that big of a deal, right? So that put me into the position to start Storage Marketing Solutions and charge a low monthly fee for them to have access to materials only a million-dollar marketing director could create. Because this is stuff that is the intellectual property that we have is literally worth millions of dollars to a self-storage facility if they implement it. And, you know, but we charge a low licensing fee every month to use the materials. And, you know, if they implement it, they see fantastic results. It does add a lot to their cash flow and adds a lot to the valuation of their asset.
So you need to explain this model that you have, because, you know, most people are just publishing a newsletter, or, you know, they're like, well, in, you know, next month I'm going to deliver more great stuff, so stick around. But that's not what you're doing. Can you explain exactly what you are doing?
Yeah, I'm familiar with, you know, Joe Polish and Ed O'Keefe and all the guys who send the big old binder, and then they work to ascend them up the model into becoming mastermind members and attending high level seminars. And, you know, I do that too a little bit, but what I really wanted to do was license, instead of collecting, you know, $995 or even $2,000 for a big old box or a big old binder of stuff, I thought if I can charge $495 a month per storage facility and license this intellectual property to them, not give it to them, but license it to them, just like, you know, computer software manufacturers do. They license their software. You don't own Windows on your computer. You license it from them. And I did the same thing with my marketing strategies. I got it all copyrighted and protected by international copyright law. And, you know, the way I structure my agreements is that if, you know, hey, listen, you are getting tens of thousands of dollars worth of stuff, and they really are. The amount of technology programming, we have a lot of technology stuff like that's done for them. Marketing tracking systems and, you know, graphic design and copywriting and all that. By the time you add it up, it's worth tens of thousands of dollars. And then ongoing, it would be worth a lot more than just, you know, the $500 a month they pay. But I say, the reason we're going to license this to you, and that way, if we come up with a better way to do a referral program, we'll introduce it to you. You don't have to pay to have it recreated. It's just part of your monthly fee. Now, should you decide that you don't want to work with us anymore, then, you know, you can terminate your agreement. We don't have long-term agreements. They're all month-to-month. Terminate your agreement, and that's fine. The thing is you just can't use the stuff anymore. And the reason why is because, A, you were licensing it. B, we have given you an exclusive territory, which you no longer get once this is terminated. We release that territory. Now, since we've opened up your territory, if one of your competitors decides to come in and use these materials, they won't be as effective. If, you know, because these things are so unique in a marketplace, for example, we have a co-branded apartment alliance system, because apartment managers are great sources of referrals for the storage business. But we have a system to get apartment managers to become affiliates for a self-storage company. That's a very unique system. If two self-storage facilities were doing that in the same market, it would look kind of silly and it would be a lot less effective. So we have to take the stuff away from you if you cancel. That way, when we give it to the new company, they have the power of the material should they wish to use them.
So there's a real pain of disconnect there, and that's I think it's very worthwhile to talk about the erosion of information, or the, you know, the Kindlefication of information, right?
Right. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, increasingly there's the 99-cent Kindle for one day book sale, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how much people are willing to pay for information that's just information is on the decline. For like all kinds of reasons, right? I mean, I remember the first time anybody said to me, you know, anything you want to learn how to do, you can go somewhere and you can pick up a book and somebody will show you how to do it. It was sometime in the 90s. And I remember like, you know, I never thought of it that way before. But now right. It's not like any kind of special thought to go, yeah, you know, anything you want to know about, you could just get on the internet. You can just go to Amazon. That's not like some new piece of information, right? And so
exactly, yeah.
Your fight, everybody who's any form of publishing is fighting that. And the way that you have chosen to fight that is by licensing and having territories rather than selling the information. So you're not selling the same thing everybody else is selling.
And we give away all, we know the truth of that, and we give away a ton of information. I mean, I'll give away a campaign to somebody if they want. They don't know. It's all in the execution, and they don't. You know, a lot of times, I mean, you know this very well with some of the the products you sell. You know, it's, and I think you say it in your disclaimer. You know that not everyone's going to use this stuff, and therefore they're not going to achieve any results because they haven't used this stuff. And the same is true for me. I mean, I do webinars and I give away everything. I give away templates. I give away flyers. I give away letters. That are really effective, but I know that they just aren't going to do anything with it, and they just need help. So, really, and another thing that's very interesting too is. I chose to stay away from the other model because if that way I don't have to provide something new to our clients in order for me to keep them. Theoretically, as long as the materials we give them continue to work for them in terms of getting them new customers every month at a high enough rate to justify the licensing fee, I theoretically don't have to talk to them or give them anything new for years, and they could be clients. Now, we don't do that. We actually have coaching calls with them on a monthly basis to help them to help them be successful. We give them new strategies all the time. We have over 70 different strategies to help these guys achieve different goals within their own industry. But at the same time, I didn't want to be forced and have the creative burden to have to come up with something fantastic every month to keep these guys on board. It's all about results. As long as we're generating results for you, then you should have no problem continuing to pay the fee because we license this to you, right? So as long as you are getting results and you're getting results and at a good enough pace that the ROI is there with our fee, then why would you cancel? And a lot of our clients, they just don't. They don't cancel because they know that that something as simple as a referral program is working really well for them. And we take all that away if they leave. We have tracking phone numbers that are tracking leads and calculating cost per lead and cost per acquisition of a customer and profit per customer and return on investment. We have all this technology plugged in. They have Self-Storage Manager Elite. It's a weekly training program where I give them, 15 minutes of sales, marketing, customer service, personal development, whatever I'm in the mood for per week, and they get that delivered every week. Every month I have a monthly marketing meeting, which is a webinar. So they're constantly just getting barraged with not only new materials, but reminded to use the old materials they have and inspired to use it. And we hear success stories. We have a manager of the month program, which, it helps prove that what we do really does work if it's implemented. And it also encourages the manager of the facility, which are the people who have to implement to, go out and do it, because I give away, $500 and enter them to win a nice vacation at the end of the year. So, the pain of disconnect is significant, although we do have clients that cancel, but they typically cancel for reasons that are like I got fired from my first client. They've sold their facility and they need me off the books and then they'll introduce me to the new client once they're the new owner once they're on board.
Now, there was a great story you told me once about a client who It seems like maybe it was a chain, or they had a whole bunch of locations or something. There was a lot of money involved, and they're like, we are paying you guys way too much money. Basically, you said something to them, sort of like, yeah, go ahead and try to quit. And they realized that all of a sudden, wow, if I unplug, I don't have the right to do all this stuff that's embedded in my business. Do you remember that story? Do you know what I'm
yeah.
talking?
Yeah, I remember. We had a coaching call with you about it. They were a large chain, and they came and said, we're paying you way too much money, which, you know, in their terms was, you know, really pennies. It was nothing. But they were both CPAs, and so they thought that all they did was looked at the expense. And, you know, this end, I never take a really, you know, arrogant attitude about it. I'm always very, very nice about it. But I replied back, and I said, okay, you know, per the terms of our agreement, here's what that means. And I outlined it to them. But I also, because we track the performance of each strategy, so we know how much, you know, if we have a direct mail campaign, we know how many new customers they're getting. We know how many customers they're getting from the referral program. We know how many customers they're getting from their apartment program. We know how many customers they're getting from our email marketing system. So I had the numbers. So I went back and I said, by getting rid of this monthly fee, and for them it was only $195 a month, because they had so many facilities, gave them a quantity break, which I don't do anymore, by the way, because that's just way too cheap for what we do. So I basically said, so for $195 a month, to save $100, $195 a month, you're going to basically throw away $40,000 a month, because the lifetime value of those customers were. And that really kind of hit him over the head. And I said, now I don't own the idea of a referral program. I don't own the idea of a differentiating yellow page ad. I don't own the idea of any of that. I just own the way that we do it and the copy that I've used, you know, the copywriting that I've, you know, put my blood, sweat, and tears into. That's what I own. So you can, sure, develop your own referral program, and you just can't copy mine. But by the time you do that, you're going to have to hire a copywriter, and here's how much they cost, and graphic designer, and here's how much they cost, and then get everything reprinted, here's how much that costs. And then, you know, by then they basically just said, you know what, you know, never mind. I mean, this is working great for us. We didn't realize how much value was attached to it, which was a good lesson for me. And I think it's a good lesson for anybody, is that you have to beat your own drum, because no one else will. And that's hard for me to do. I'm kind of a quiet person. I don't like, you know, pat myself on the back. So
it's for me hard for me too. I really struggle with it, honestly.
But you got to do it at some point, and you don't have to be as obnoxious about it as some people are. But we have a monthly report that we send people, and we basically say, here's how much you're paying us, here's how much you're getting in return. And those people that believe in those numbers and know that we're not making them up, because it's brought in through independent objective technology, then, you know, they are very happy with us.
Could you explain a little bit about the economics of the self-storage industry and why, despite its boring appearance, it was really a good market to go into?
Yeah, the self-storage industry was up until 2005. If you owned a self-storage facility, you basically printed cash. I mean, just insane amounts of money were made prior to 2005. Now it's become, you know, just like any the guy that hired me back in 2003 with the private jet and fired me. He actually told me this. He said, Derek, let me tell you something. He goes, wherever there is money, competition will follow. And I've never forgotten that statement, although it's pretty elementary when you think about it. But it's, you know, he looked me in the eyes dead serious and said that, because I asked him what had happened. And he said, Derek, wherever there's profits, big profits, competition follows. And so that happened in this industry. And now, you know, I'm sure you can relate. There's a self-storage facility on every corner. Yep. Of almost every town. And so now if you market it properly and you fill it up properly, you know, you're still printing cash. But because it's a recurring monthly revenue based business, meaning, you know, you have customers that stay and pay their monthly rent for an average of, you know, 12 or 13 months, you can then go out and sell that for a multiple, depending on what the current cap rate is. You can go out and sell that for a multiple of 10 to 14 times net operating income, which, you know, for a small storage facility, if you are netting $100,000 a month, you can go out and sell that for, you know, $1 million, $1.2 million. And that's for a small facility that's not run too well. So some of these bigger ones that you see with thousands of units, I mean, those things are selling for $5-10 million, just because of the multiple on net that you can get. And so, you know, it's a lot like what I do. I mean, the model of my business is recurring monthly revenue. I don't have to go out and find new customers every month in order for my business to survive. You know, I have attrition just like every other business, but it's pretty low. And so I could go a year without getting making another sale, and my business would still be doing really good. But of course, I'm ambitious and I want to grow it, so I don't do that. But the same is true with self-storage. You know, self-storage, you know, if they don't get any rentals, you know, for a few months, or make any new sales for a few months, the business doesn't die. Like if you were a retail store that sold clothing or something like that, if you don't make a sale in a month, then you're screwed because you don't have that recurring monthly revenue.
Okay, so here comes all the competition, and sooner or later people figure out people are making a lot of money by building these self-storage centers. So more show up, and the profit margins erode. So how does a person stay decidedly ahead of the rat race? Because this happens in every business you can imagine, right?
Yep, every single one.
So what's your formula for what to do next?
Well, it's all about differentiation superior forces at the point of contact is from the Art of War, and the point of contact is where somebody I believe the number one marketing mistake every small business makes is they don't get really, really good at the marketing where the point of contact is. And what I mean by that is, in the self-storage industry, it's either yellow pages, if they're not brand loyal, which, let's face it, there's no brand loyalty in self-storage because it's so fragmented, they either go to the yellow pages and look up self-storage, they go to Google, type in self-storage in their city name, they ask a friend or a family member, or they go to the place that they drive by every day on their way to work. So those are the points of contact in self-storage. If you don't have a favorite brand, there's only those four options. That's it. So what we do is we have superior forces at those points with differentiating messages that are strong, copy focused. You know, you have a headline, you have strong copy, you have bold offers that are risk reverse, and you stick out like a sore thumb to the consumer because everyone else is doing the old style of advertising, which is, you know, branding. They put their logo up and say, "We take credit cards and here are ours." They're not, you know, meeting anyone with the conversation going on in their head, or following any of the direct marketing principles that we know work. So by going through those direct marketing principles and focusing on differentiation at those four points of contact, we win really big. But also, we take a very different mentality with all of the other, you know, grassroots marketing, like these forming affiliates throughout town. I mean, we have pizza companies delivering what we call strategic alliance cards that we create for our clients on top of a pizza box. And it's got a unique code on the back that tells the self-storage facility where the lead came from so they can reimburse, they can pay the pizza company $100 for the customer. And so we focus really hard on what I call the lifeblood of smart marketing, which is your lifetime customer value, your cost per tenant acquisition, your cost per lead, and your conversion rate. And all of those things will help you determine an ROI. But as you know, Perry, the person willing to pay, who knows what their customers are worth, can usually pay more to acquire a customer, and they usually win. People outside of our client base don't understand those numbers. So for them to pay a pizza company $100 for sending them a rental is asinine. But for our clients, they realize that their customers are worth $1,400 to $3,200. So for them to pay $100, they're still getting a 14 to 1 return on their investment at a minimum. So we do things like that. But the main thing is we do the superior forces at the point of contact, major differentiation, convert them to, you know, direct marketing stuff with a good headline and good copy and good offers, and then help them change their thinking on how to create affiliates and how they do all of their other marketing. And they just flat out win. They're in more places. They've got a better message that hits consumer hot buttons. They have risk reversal. They have bold headlines. They just dominate their local market. Even the big boys like Public Storage, who have thousands of facilities, we dominate them with a single mom and pop owner, and it drives these guys crazy because they can't figure out how they're doing it. They're charging more per month, and they have higher occupancy than the multi-billion-dollar publicly traded company, and the publicly traded company can't figure out what's going on because a lot of it is very grassroots and stealth.
Well, so the stealth ingredient, I think, is really significant because anybody can go by advertising or something like that. It's a lot more involved to go out and strike a deal with a pizza company or work a deal with an apartment complex or, but when you get those kind of things set up, do you agree they're a lot less vulnerable to the whims of, click prices or, whatever's going on in the media world?
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's, for example, one of the grassroots things that we do is I mentioned apartments. Let's pick a different one. Let's talk about realtors. Realtors are great sources as well because when people move, they typically need storage. And a realtor wants their home that they're selling to be clean and organized because they can typically sell it faster and for more money. So we co-brand a marketing program. We basically form a partnership with the realtor where other self-storage companies are taking the realtor a box of chocolates and some business cards and brochures. We're going and forming a partnership with them and co-branding marketing materials and creating a commission structure and doing all this stuff so that we have a lot tighter relationship. So when the competitor comes and hands a box of chocolates and some business cards, they basically laugh it off because they have this really lucrative program set up. But yeah, when that realtor's handing out flyers to every listing they have and to every potential listing they have, and you get 100 different realtors in a market doing that, the 80-20 rule applies big time. 20% of those 20 of those realtors, if you have 100, are going to give you 80% of the rentals. But we really teach them to set up multiple pillars of incoming business so that click prices or media or whatever doesn't really affect it much. And we really want them to have 10 to 15 sources of incoming tenants at any given time so that if one of them blows out, they're not in trouble.
And the other thing that I thought was interesting here is, I wonder, this is like the question for everybody to listen to ask yourself, I wonder how many people are showing and demonstrating the value they deliver to their clients on a piece of paper with measured actual factuals every month, like you are.
Yeah, well, I mean, we did that out of desperation, just because it was. I mean, we had good clients, who were leaving us for, and this was before I put a lot of the other stuff in place that we've talked about too, but I couldn't understand why they were leaving, but then I came to realize they just didn't know. All they're looking at is an expense on a P&L report. So if you don't get it in front of them, then that value in front of them, then you're going to be in trouble. So we have, through tracking phone numbers and tracking systems we've built, and I've spent a ton of money on technology-wise, we're able to spit out a report that tells them, that ties into their management software, their point of sale software. It ties directly into our software, and it tells them exactly, what they're getting based on their lifetime customer value, and so a few other metrics. We're able to give them that number, and then we say, hey, by the way, this is only an additional cash flow. Here's what it means in increased valuation to your asset. And usually that number is six figures or even seven figures. So for them to get rid of us for a measly $500 a month is crazy at that point.
Do knockoff guys show up in your market from time to time?
Yeah, we have. I've had several people come in and even name their businesses almost exactly the name of my business. And, you know, there's 55,000 self-storage facilities in the country. We currently have about 1,000 of them. So I'm an abundance kind of guy. It doesn't really bother me. In fact, I was excited because, you know, this company that came in shared a lot of the same principles as I did. So I thought, hey, someone else with a voice to help convince these guys that this is a good idea, you know, and it'll probably help me at some point. So, but ultimately they haven't made it. And I fortunately got in first and I did it. The very first thing I focused on when I got in this industry was positioning. And I didn't focus on getting new clients right away. I focused on positioning myself as the expert. So I started writing articles for the industry publications and submitting them. And I did not, you know, they didn't know, but I did not even have a client yet. But I was writing articles based on my success with the other company. And what I knew worked. And so I soon became published. Believe it or not, there's 4 industry publications in the self-storage industry. I became the marketing guru for all 4 magazines. And then I got invited to speak at the trade show. So now I speak at all the trade shows around the country, and I'm published every month in the magazines. And that has been what other people can't get. A, because they're not good writers. They don't understand that they have to write objectively to get a column. You can't just sell your stuff the whole time. And, you know, they're not good speakers in public. And so they're not getting in front of people and positioning themselves in the proper way. They're just, you know, they try and get in and do it and don't make it. They've all gone away. The only ones that still last are the ones that, you know, that do internet marketing. We have some pretty healthy competition on that side of things, but that's okay too, because again, if we all just get a couple thousand facilities, we're all doing really, really well.
And you can be almost guaranteed that the bottom 80% of facilities are just going to be mediocre, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's the way it is.
So you're also doing other things. Like, you've gotten this to the point where it does not take all of your time. And so, you know, you are, like many of us, a serial entrepreneur. Can you talk about that any?
Well, I've got a couple of things that I'm doing. I have a I believe that local search marketing for small businesses is one of the biggest opportunities there is today. I've started a business called Local Customers Now that we're just barely launching. We actually have a number of clients, but we haven't, I mean, just through, you know, inertia, we have clients. But, you know, if you think about the number of businesses out there that, you know, don't even know how to claim their Google Places listing and don't know how to set up a pay-per-click campaign, they'd much rather pay you a few $100 a month to do it. And if you have a proper system set up, you can easily do it for a couple $100 a month and, you know, give them reporting and analytics that, I mean, see, the reporting and analytics thing, I think is really sort of our secret sauce. Because again, we have an ability to show without doubt that these guys are getting a return on investment. So when we sign someone up for this local search marketing program, which we simply, you know, build them a microsite, we manage their setup and manage their Google Places listing, set up a pay-per-click campaign, and then do organic search stuff. And a little bit, we have some social media plugins that we help them with. Between, you know, and, you know, they pay $500 a month for that. And, you know, it becomes, if you're a small business, that's an expense you'll probably question from time to time. But when I'm sending you a report every month saying, you know, you got 18 phone calls and 14 walk-ins and, you know, 13 people sent you an email. So I'd imagine, you know, you closed at least 25% of those, right? And they're like, oh yeah, of course, we closed 75%. Okay. Well then, you know, this program just made, if this $500 just turned into, you know, whatever, 15,000 or 50,000, you know, depending on what it is that they're selling. So, I'm going pretty aggressively after that because the opportunity's big. And then I, of course, have my Children's Advantage program, which was something that I've always been working on, which helps you know, parents protect their children from sexual predators and so forth. I have two little girls, and so that was a little passion project of mine that I started. And so I created a DVD and a workbook that we sell, and now that's more of a me giving back, me saving the world project more than anything. But between those three things, I stay plenty busy, and at the same time, I'm trying to, you know, get into the world of developing apps and all that kind of stuff. I dip my finger in things from time to time, but I really have to work hard at staying focused on what's working. So, and right now, those are the things that work for me. They all make me money, and they all have big potential.
So, Derek, if we were to define the current period that we're in as a major transition, what's your crystal balls about the new rules of the new world compared to the old rules that got thrown out the window? What do you see as being the new regime?
Well, I think that we are going back to, we're sort of reverting back to a good old boys network, but it's going to be a technology good old boys network. Whereas, you know, with the things that Google and Facebook are doing, and, you know, Bing and their integration with stuff, I really think that building relationships with your customers is the number one thing that you can do, and getting them to, you know, give you positive reviews and do things on Facebook for you. And, you know, the more that your customers love you and are loyal to you and are participating on the social side of it, as well as on the local search side by leaving user reviews, and the more you stay on top of that, the better off I think you're going to be doing. And I still think that, you know, direct mail and yellow pages, believe it or not, have actually increased in effectiveness.
Really? Because, wait, you got to stop talking about that for a minute.
Well, here's why. If you think about it, everyone's going around to small businesses saying, get out of the yellow pages, they're not working. So for an example in the self-storage business, they used to be one of only, you know, 30 people advertising. Now they're one of five, and they're still that older demographic that uses the yellow pages. So we actually have a lot of people.
Money.
Exactly, who have money, and they don't, you know, they're not hassling anybody. So we've actually had a lot of clients increase their yellow page spend based on our analytics. And I also think analytics are going to become more and more important for businesses, just because, you know, if you aren't providing, you know, like Perry said, if you aren't providing a way for your customers to know how much value you're providing to them in a very scientific way, where they know you can't skew the numbers, then, you know, I think you're going to be in trouble, because that technology is out there, and your competitors will probably start offering that. So, you know, us doing that has saved our bacon a lot. And, you know, I focus so much on existing customers and relationships with them. And I really firmly believe that getting them to buy another product, getting, you know, increasing their value to your business is just, there's unprecedented opportunity in that. And, you know, being present on local search marketing and doing the local stuff that, you know, Facebook is supposedly coming out with a map functionality for local search. So, I mean, just being involved in that and then taking care of your customers and increasing their value is really, I mean, I just can't get over how much most businesses spend on getting new customers when they don't even focus on, you know, selling something else to their existing customers, or the biggest thing is focus on increasing your conversion rate of leads to paying customers. That's a huge opportunity. You know, it's just insane how much opportunity is there for businesses that don't even know they're losing 75% of their leads, either by not capturing them properly or by having poor salesmanship on the other end of the phone. That, you know, they could double their business without spending another penny just by focusing on true salesmanship and persuasion.
Well, I think that, you know, just the question of how do you prove in dollars and cents the value that you deliver to your customers? You know, I realize I need to have a conversation with my team about how do we do that? You know, I just had a conversation with a guy this morning. He's spending $20,000 a month on pay-per-click, And I think a conservative estimate would be that the conversation we had today, which was a half an hour, plus probably about 5 hours of work on his part, it's going to save him at least $4,000 a month. But it would be really easy for me to never bother to go back and prove that.
Mm-hmm.
To where he consciously acknowledges in his head, yes, this investment is paying me back every month to the tune of $4,000 a month. I think I'll make another investment like that, right? And you know, anybody in business to business, especially, but even more broadly, in you know any way that you deliver value, are you really making sure that the person closes the loop in their head? That's good, man. So, excellent.
You got to figure out a way to do it.
That's great. Well, no. Derek, any last words of wisdom before I let you get back to your little empire that you're running over there?
I don't think so. I can't think of anything else.
Well,
just beat your own drum, I guess.
Okay. Well, you know, we'll beat our drum, and you know, I appreciate what you're doing. I think it's great, you know, that you've built such an interesting thing and such a quote unquote boring business. You know, there's a lot of old money in your business, and that old money is usually pretty smart, right?
It's very smart. Very smart guys.
So some
of the smartest people I know are in this industry. Because they figured out that this is the industry to be in, and B, they're just typically very smart people.
Well, excellent. So, you know, go find the smart people and sell stuff to them, right?
All right.
Okay. Well, Derek, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to have you. And if somebody wants to look you up and find out what you're about, how do they do that?
They can either Google my name, Derek Naylor, D as in dog, E-R-E-K, Naylor, N as in Nancy, A-Y-L-O-R, or my website is storagemarketingsolutions.com.
That's great. Well, thank you, Derek, very much.
All right. Thank you.
Derek Naylor is going to be our featured speaker at the Rainmaker Alchemist Seminar, September 21 to 23, and he's going to be going in much further detail about how he designs and delivers the systems that he makes available to his clients. There's going to be an extensive explanation of how he does it, and I think you're going to find this to be a revelation. It's a much easier way to work a relationship with a client. So hope you'll join us September 21 to 23. PerryMarshall.com/alchemist is the web address, and look forward to seeing you. Thank you.